Okay, we want to pick back up with chapter 6 of the Revelation. And the first part of this is just really demonstrating the awesomeness of God and what our attitude should be toward God and the thankfulness we should have toward Jesus for what He's done for us. In chapter 6, John says he looked as a lamb opened the first seals. Remember, there's seven seals. The lamb's opening the seals. And when he opens the first seal, John hears one of the four living creatures say, "Come and see." And evidently this is an awesome sight, because he talks about how this creature's voice was like thunder. If you can you imagine just a thunderous voice coming forth and saying, "Come and see." And so John responds, and he says when he looked, he saw a white horse. And the one who sat on the horse had a bow, and a crown was given to him. Now we know that bow is what? A weapon. And the crown, that's representing an authority. And he went out conquering and to conquer. Very brief. That's all we know about this. And when the Lamb opened the second seal, John saw the second living creature, or heard the second living creature say, "Come and see." And when he looked, he saw another horse go forth. And this was flame-colored, color of a flame of fire, if you will. And the rider of this horse was given permission to take peace from the earth so that people would kill one another. A great sword was given unto him. All these things are incredible when you think about it, and I'm not going to give you the time frame of all this, but if we're not seeing forerunners and foreshadows, I don't know what we are, because there's so much killing going on today. People killing one another, people in the husband killing wives, wives killing husbands, children killing parents, parents killing children, and not to even mention the terrorist acts and all these other things. Just forget the wars and look at just the self-centeredness of humanity and how devolved that we've become. Then when this lamb opens the third seal, John heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." And when he looked, he saw a black horse. And the one who sat on the black horse had a pair of balances in his hands. You know what balances are, right? The scales, you know, the old method of weighing. Okay? And then he heard this voice saying, "A measure of grain for a denarius and three measures of barley for a denarius, and do not be unjust with the olive oil and the wine." Now, it appears to me that the message that he's conveying is the scarcity of the food, okay? So this sounds somewhat like famine. Because when you look at what he's saying as far as the grain and as far as the barley and the olive oil and the wine, you measure it out. And then another thing you look at here, don't cheat people either when you do it, okay? And when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, John saw or heard the fourth living creature say, "Come and see." And John looked, he saw a greenish horse. And the name of its rider was Death. Hell accompanied him. And they were given authority over a fourth part of the earth to kill with famine, the sword, death, and dangerous animals of the earth. So who's riding this horse? Death and hell is accompanying. Now note that they're given authority. Who has authority over death and hell? Revelation 1:18, where Jesus said, He who lives was dead. I'm alive forevermore. Behold, I have the keys of death and hell. I have the authority of death and hell. And so then here they're granted permission. Who opens the seals? Jesus, doesn't he? And so you think about a fourth of the population killed. And I can't help but wonder, I don't know how many of you have heard or read or anything. You've ever heard of Agenda 21? That they now call Agenda 32? It was the powers that be in Earth had an agenda for 2021 to eliminate the population of the Earth from 7+ billion down to 500 million. Now, if that's not mass murder, what is it? But I want you to think about what's taking place with these seals. A fourth of the population, that's a lot of people, isn't it? Then this shows you that death's an enemy. You see this? Death accompanied by hell. They're enemies of God. They're not God. A lot of people think God does it. No, in this case, He has given permission. And I'll let Him explain to you why He did that, okay? But I'm sure He just in his decision. And also, another thing that interests me here is dangerous animals. And it seems like there's been a tremendous escalation of people being killed by wild animals, even dogs. Joggers out running get attacked by a lion or whatever. These should be wake-up calls to us. It says, when the Lamb opened the fifth seal, John saw beneath an altar the souls of those who had been killed. Now note why they were killed. For the Word of God and for their witness. Their testimony, that's their witness, okay? And these souls are crying with a loud voice, and they say, how long will it be before you judge and vindicate our blood on those who dwell on earth? So evidently these aren't on earth. John's called up into heaven, right? Okay. And all of them were given white robes. They were told to rest for a little space of time. Because during this time, their fellow slaves, and I use the word slaves because we've been bought with a price. Number one, we're owned. If Jesus is our master, we're the slave. Right? And this is how these apostles identify themselves as slaves of God, not servants of God. They weren't bold enough to translate it slaves. But the Greek word's doulos, not diakonia. Diakonos is talking about a servant, but doulos is talking about a slave. It's in relation to the master. So these who are fellow slaves and brethren are to be killed in the same manner that they were killed. And why are they going to be killed? For the Word of God, their witness for Jesus. So don't think it a strange thing that people oppose you when you speak the Word of God, that people oppose you when you're a witness for the Lord. And it's amazing how people just really feel sorry for themselves and, you know, poor old me, you know, here I am, I'm standing up for God, and they're talking about me, and they're slandering me. Well, they did that to Jesus also. You just keep speaking the truth, okay? And he goes on to say that John looked and saw the Lamb open the sixth seal, and when the sixth seal was opened, it caused a great earthquake. And the sun became black, a sackcloth made from hair, and the moon became as blood. It doesn't say the moon became blood, but the moon became as blood, look like blood. Okay? The stars of heaven fell to the earth like a fig tree casting unripe figs when it is shaken by a great wind. Have you ever seen the wind blow through a fruit tree and the fruit drop to the ground? This is what he was seeing, a tremendous shaking. Now note when these things are taking place. In Joel, the second chapter, and Peter quoted from Joel in Acts chapter 2 when he said, "This is that," where the Holy Spirit was poured out. And Peter uses part of Joel's prophecy, and one of the things as he talks about is the sun becoming black, the moon is blood. Now, he says that's to happen in the last days. Okay? The Holy Spirit's already been poured out. The Pentecost, right? It just appears to me that things are winding down. That the stage is set for God's Word to fulfill itself. Don't be like an ostrich with your head in the sand and ignore what's going on around you. You don't know the day or the hour the Lord's coming, but he didn't say you couldn't know the season. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, you don't need me to write to you about the season. You recognize the season. We're children of the day. We have revelation. We can see. We can understand things. And understand that God's Word is going to be fulfilled, every bit of it. It has been fulfilled. It is being fulfilled. And it will ultimately be fulfilled. And I'll just jump ahead of myself, but I'll tell you this, that when the revelation, when these things are complete, all prophecy will have been fulfilled. The Word of God will have been fulfilled when all this takes place. So God wrote the beginning and the end. And He's watching over that Word. It will do exactly what He sent it to do. And so this is an awesome time when this six seals open. He says the stars of heaven fall, and then the sky split apart like a scroll when it's rolled up. Can you imagine that? And every mountain and island moved from its location. Remember, it started with a great earthquake. A great earthquake. You get that part? Now, when this happens, it says the rulers of the earth, the people of distinction, the military commanders, the wealthy, the powerful, every slave, and every freeborn person, what did they do? They hid themselves. They went into caves or caverns and among the rocks of the mountains. They're trying to hide from God. Now, look at this. They say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Have you ever heard the phrase, the day of the Lord? And people talk about the day of the Lord like they're really looking forward to the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a day of awesome judgment, a fearful, terrible day. It's not a day to be looking forward to, okay, because of the fierceness of that day. But now here's the part you have people miss. You have to take the whole Bible together. And you hear me talk a lot about the love of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the grace of God. Those things do not refute that God has wrath. But God's wrath is not on His children. And you need to understand that. we're spared from the day of wrath. You don't have to be afraid of the wrath of God being poured out on you if you're a born-again believer. Jesus bore that wrath for you, the penalty of sin. So you've already been judged, declared guilty, and punished. It was just done through a substitute. Okay? So you identify with the substitute. You become one with the substitute. But those who don't receive Jesus, those who don't receive the substitute, then they incur the wrath of God. See, all the judgment God's turned over to Jesus. He's the judge of all the earth. But in this era, He has not come to judge. John 3:17, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So today, He is here as Savior. That's why we put our emphasis on the Savior. That's why we put our emphasis on the grace of God, the love of God, and these various things. But don't lose sight of the fact that God does have wrath, and God's wrath will be poured out. And this is just a foretaste of it. Because when we get into the seven vials or the seven bowls or seven containers, however you want to say that, they are the wrath of God. And that's absolutely awesome at the destruction that occurs here. But even in this sixth seal, this is such a fearful time that people are wanting the mountains to fall on them to get them from the face of God. They know they're guilty. And those who haven't bowed the knee will bow it. Now's the time to do it. Amen. So when you go into chapter 7, it says, after seeing the sixth seal open, John saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, and they were withholding the four winds of the earth. And they didn't allow the wind to blow on the earth or the sea or any tree. Can you imagine? Perfect stillness, no wind. That's something this day and time, isn't it? And John saw another angel ascended from the east, and this angel had the seal of the living God. And with a loud voice he cried to the four angels to whom he had given permission to hurt the earth and the sea. And then the angel with the seal of God said, do not hurt the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, until the slaves of God are sealed in their foreheads. Okay? Now, and John heard the number that was sealed, 144,000. Now, certain denomination talks about the 144,000. Well, this is great revelation. They're all Jews. They're all Jews. They come from the 12 tribes of Israel. Right? I mean, does your Bible read that way? Follow me. Make sure I'm not telling you something that's not accurate. Okay? And then he spells it out. 12,000 were sealed from each of the following 12 tribes of Israel. Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, which is Ephraim, and Benjamin. The tribe of Dan is excluded. No one from the tribe of Dan was sealed. Don't ask me why, I don't know. If you find out, let me know. Okay? After the 144,000 were sealed, John saw a great multitude which no one could number. Don't let people trip you up with this 144,000. All you have to do is keep reading. A great multitude without number is more than 144,000. These 144,000 are virgins, is the way it says it. You'll see this a little later on. And they have a special assignment. Okay? They're handpicked by God. And so it says that he saw a multitude without that you could not number, and it consisted of all races, all clans, all people, and different languages, all languages. And they stood before the throne and the Lamb. And they were clothed with white robes, and they had in their hands palms, or tropical evergreen leaves. So obviously these are people that are in right standing with God, okay? And with a loud voice the multitude cries, saying, "Salvation from God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the messengers, the elders, the four living creatures, and stood around the throne. When this multitude cried out, these messengers, the elders, and the four living creatures fell on their faces in the before the throne, and they worshiped God. Well, we might as well get used to it here, because there's going to be a lot of it going on there. And we should be part of that right here and right now. They said, "Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and strength to our God perpetually or forever. Amen." Then one of the elders spoke to John and asked him, "Who are these people who are clothed with white robes, and from where did they come?" Now John really shows his intelligence here. "I don't know." He said, "Sir, you know." Pardon me? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Why don't we just stop here and we'll pick back up with chapter 8? Will that work? And I hope I have the test wrong. What are you taking the test on?